Good evening, church, and welcome back to our Wednesday night study of Christian theology. We've been looking at the doctrine of soteriology, that is, the doctrine of salvation. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the ordo salutis, which is the order of salvation, those logical steps in the salvation process. Last week, we began in eternity past, looking at the doctrine of predestination and unconditional election. And I want to, this week, talk about calling, specifically our effectual calling by God. And as we're doing such, let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30, to show where calling and election fit logically in, even chronologically in this case, in the ordo salutis. It says in Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. So, all things work together for good for those who are called, called by God for His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, we talked about last week, that means not only that He knew beforehand, as He knows all things, but He love them, foreordain them. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom He predestined, these He also called. So the very same people that were predestined by God are also those who will, in time and space, in history, be called by God. They were predestined before the foundation of the world, chosen and elect, loved before the foundation of the world. In time, in space, in history, they are called. And those whom He called, He also justifies. Those whom He justifies, He also glorified. This is the golden chain of salvation. And as some people have said, you get on this train, you can't get off. The very same people who were predestined or foreknown are the very same people who are predestined, are the very same people who are called, are the very same people who are justified, are the very same people who are glorified. What I mean by that is that you don't stop at predestination and not get called. You don't stop at calling and not get justified. You don't stop at, if you're justified by God, it's impossible for you to fail to be glorified by God. What we're talking about when we talk about calling is, I want you to consider your calling. Why is it, in a room full of sinners, in an audience of sinners, there is a man, a preacher, who is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's preaching a faithful gospel? Why is it, in the room full of totally depraved sinners, let's assume for a moment that everyone out there is lost, why is it that some will hear the gospel proclaimed and repent and believe, and others will remain in their hardness? They may feel conviction, they may feel regret, but ultimately they shake it off, if you will, and they do not repent and they do not believe. Why is it that some repent and believe? Is it because they are more righteous than the other people in the room? Is it because they have understood better than the others in the room? Are they smarter than the others? Are they just a little more godly so that they can see the wonderful plan of the Lord Jesus Christ naturally? No, I suggest to you it's because that the Lord God, by His Spirit, has called them. Now, there are in Scriptures two different and very specific uses of the word call. There is what we call the general gospel call, which is the external, and then there is the particular effectual call, which is the internal. So the gospel call is the call that goes out to all and it's external. The particular call, or the effectual call, is the gospel, is the call that goes to some, and it is internal. The effectual call, the internal call, works together with and through the gospel external call. so that someone who hears the gospel externally is worked upon and called powerfully by the Spirit internally. Where do we see the gospel call, this external call, in Scripture? Well, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14, he says, Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Which means that the gospel is preached to many, but only a few are actually chosen by God. Only these chosen are those who will experience this effectual call. Romans 10:14, we hear more about this gospel external call. How are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? They must hear in order to believe. They must have the gospel preached to them for them to repent and believe. This is the gospel call, the proclamation of the gospel. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is Jesus doing? He is boldly proclaiming, offering this gospel to all who will hear. This is the gospel call that is to go, the genuine offer of the gospel that is to go to all people. Jesus offered it to everyone. Anyone who would come, whosoever will, if, as you might say. But what is this effectual calling? What is this inward call? Wayne Grudem defines it as effectual calling is an act of God the Father speaking through the human proclamation of the gospel in which he summons people to himself in such a way that they respond in saving faith. He goes on to say, this is no powerless, merely human calling in view. This calling is rather a kind of summons from the King of the universe. And it has such power that it brings about the response that it asks for in people's heart. Well, we mentioned where we see the gospel call in Scripture. Where do we see this inward effectual call in Scripture? Romans chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. Paul writes, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. He's talking to those who have repented and believe, and he says, you are called by God to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. They're loved by God and they are called to be saints, holy ones of God. He goes on and wishes them a greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:30 that we just read, and those whom he predestined, these he also called with an inward calling. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Not everyone who hears the gospel call will repent and believe. But everyone who is called in this effectual internal call does repent and believe. Sometimes, it's specifically in the acronym TULIP and the so-called 5 points of Calvinism, this is called irresistible grace. Is irresistible grace a good name for what we're saying? Well, the key point here is the certainty with which the individual who is called will respond in faith. It is the assurance that God's purpose to call, who's elected that individual and is calling that individual, God will not fail. He does not have merely the powers of wooing, but he has the effectual power of calling. Romans chapter 9, verses 18 through 19, in Paul's discussion of the doctrine of election, specifically as it relates to the Israelites, he talks about an objector. So then, Paul says, he has mercy on whoever he wills. God is God's prerogative to have mercy on whomever he chooses, whoever he wills, and also to harden whomever he wills. This is election and reprobation that we talked about last week. But then he says there's an objection. You will say to me then, why does God still find fault? For who can resist his will? Well, the answer is no one can resist God's will. That's what Paul is saying. Who can resist God's will? If God chooses to show mercy to someone, then they're bound to receive this mercy and to be saved by God. Who can resist his will? No one. So why does he still blame us? Why does he still find fault? The humans are still held responsible for the decisions they make. And that's what we talked about last week when we talked about the doctrine of election and predestination. Now, don't misunderstand me here. Wayne Grudem goes on to say that although it is true that effective calling awakens and brings forth a response from us, we must always insist that this response still has to be voluntary, willing response, in which the individual person puts his or her trust in Christ. Jesus doesn't do the believing for us. God doesn't force us against our will to believe. He somehow works in accordance with our will, calling us to do that which we would not naturally be able to do. It's not as if, you know, my child throws a toy upon the ground, and I tell my child, don't throw that toy upon the ground. Pick the toy up. And they refuse, stubbornly refuse to do what I've said. I'm not going to pick up the toy. They don't want to pick up the toy. They're not going to pick up the toy. And I end up grabbing their hand and reaching and grabbing that toy with my hand around their hand, making them grab the toy, making them do what they don't want to do. That is not a good picture of salvation. It's not a good picture of the effectual call of God. What we're saying, and we recognize that someone may hear the gospel call, the Spirit-inspired word being preached may bring a certain sort of conviction to them, and it may appear on the outside that they resist the call of God for maybe even many years. So it may appear in our experience that a person has resisted the call of God. Yet what we're saying is that when God has chosen to show mercy and God calls a person, that calling is effectual. John Frame will say, when God intends to bring someone to faith in Christ, he cannot fail. We know that God's will is always accomplished. He cannot fail. Although, he says, for his own reasons, he may choose to wrestle with a person for a long time before achieving that purpose. God may choose to wrestle, and it appears through our eyes that this person is resisting for a while. They cannot ultimately and finally resist God's purpose of calling and election. Now, let's talk more specifically about this calling. First of all, as we've said before, it is God who is the one who calls. God is the one calling us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So it is God, this faithful God, who calls us, and he calls us into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:15. But as he who called you is holy, referring to God, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. We're to be holy because we've received a holy calling from a holy God. More examples of this. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. It is God who in his grace who has called you to this eternal glory in Christ. God, the gracious God, has called us. And 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Who can call us to his own glory and excellence except the Lord? Except God the Lord. Now I want you to see that when the Bible talks about calling, it uses these two different kinds of calling. Gospel call, which is external, and the inward call, which is effectual. But overwhelmingly, when it talks about our calling as believers, it refers to the effectual calling of God and not the general or external gospel call. Let's look nextly at not only he who calls, but the efficacy of God's call. All who God calls will in fact come to him. John 6:37 and following. All that the Father gives me, Jesus says, will come to me. Do you see that? The Father has given a group of individuals out of those that are destined to hell, that he's given them to the Son as in a gift of love. And all that Jesus has been given by the Father will come to him. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. See, this doesn't fit with the idea that God has given everybody to the Son and some will refuse to accept this gift. No, there are certain persons that the Father has given to the Son, and he will lose none of all that have been given to him. He will, in fact, raise them up on the last day. He will call them, and he will bring them to glory. John chapter 10, verses 25 through 30. Jesus answered them and said, I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Do you see this, what he says? That the reason that the Pharisees didn't believe, the reason that they heard but didn't respond, is because they weren't part of the flock of Jesus Christ. But Jesus' sheep, even those elect ones, those that the Father had given him, Jesus' sheep will hear him and know him. When he speaks to them powerfully, when he calls them, they will hear his voice, and I know them, and they will follow, and he'll give them eternal life. They'll never perish. It is the Father, he says, who has given them to me. This is true in the Old Testament, in the valley of the dry bones. Do you see he prophesies to the bones? They're dead, they're brittle, they're dry, they're just bones. Death is everywhere. Dead men don't rise by themselves. But God, through preaching to them, through the man of God, the Son of Man, prophesying to the breath, prophesying to the bones, through this powerful word, this powerful calling, well, bones started attaching to bone, and they were filled with flesh, and they were given a new heart. We see this dead man in Lazarus. Jesus comes, weeps over his friend Lazarus, who has been dead for 4 days in the grave and stinking, wrapped up in grave clothes. He's dead. Dead men don't respond. Oh, how we wish that they would with our loved ones. Oh, how we wish that we could get them to hear our voice and that they would obey us. But Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And in response to the powerful and effectual call of Jesus Christ, Lazarus, the dead man, comes alive and comes out of the grave. This is the efficacy of God's call. What is the means of God's call? What is the tool that God uses to call? Well, it is the Word. The very Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God, which has brought us forth. James 1:18 makes this clear. Of His own will, as of God's will, He brought us forth. Just like Lazarus. He brought us forth by the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So He brought us forth. How did He bring us forth? By the Word. We're called by the Word. 1 Peter 1:23 and 25. Since you've been born again, not as of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable seed, through the living and abiding Word of God. I want you to see this. Your regeneration, your new birth, your being born again comes through the living and abiding Word of God. He says, all flesh is like grass, quoting Isaiah. All its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Which shows it's not just the Scripture, but it's through the proclamation of the gospel, the preaching of the scriptural good news about Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel means. It's good news. Through evangelism, through the proclamation of the gospel, that God in His, the gospel call goes forth externally to all, and the gospel call, the effectual call goes forth inwardly to some. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. To this He called you through our gospel. So how did He call, how did God call the Thessalonians? Through the preaching of Paul, through the gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, that it's because of this that Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm willing to go to Rome, he's saying. I'm willing to go into the lion's den in Caesar's backyard and preach the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why does he say? For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. He knows through preaching the gospel that God by His Spirit will inwardly and effectually call individuals to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. That is written, the righteous shall live by faith. But more than just the gospel preached, the scriptures being preached, what, or in this case, who is it that brings this effectual calling, that makes the calling of God effectual? Well, it is the Holy Spirit. God calls us through His Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Paul's saying, we didn't do anything. We weren't able to save anyone. We couldn't bring about anyone's salvation. He says, our sufficiency is from God. We might say our efficacy is from God, who made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. As ministers of the new covenant, it is the Spirit who must anoint and work through our preaching of the gospel to give life to dead souls. It is the Spirit working with the word, working with the preaching and in the preaching, that this happens. Titus in chapter 3 and verse 5. God saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. He saved us by his mercy and not by our works, and it's the Holy Spirit who regenerates and renews us. Who are the recipients of God's call? Well, we talked about earlier that it's the very same ones whom he foreknew, the very same ones who he predestined. These are the ones whom God has chosen, the one whom God calls. And we see this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see how in that passage Paul talks about being chosen by God to be saved, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and then called through the gospel? What is the motive for God's call? What is the motive? Well, it's not because of our works. He saved us and called us to a holy calling, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says. He saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Do you see how this works with the doctrine of election that we talked about last week? He didn't look down the corridors of time and see that we were going to be good people who did good works, that we were going to be faithful. It wasn't that. He called us not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. It was not because of something good that he saw in us. It's not because we're a little better, then we would have reason to boast. It's not because of that he called us, but because of God's own purpose and God's own grace. God is not arbitrary or capricious in this call. He has purpose, but his purpose is in accord with his grace. Because it's not many rich or noble that he's called, that he's chosen, he's done this to magnify his grace, as we talked about last week. What is God's purpose in election? We see that also talked about in Romans 9, verses 11 through 13. Of Jacob and Esau, he says, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of his call. God's purpose of election is seen not because of works, not because we've done something good or bad that he sees and knows, but because of his call. She was told, the older will serve the younger, as is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau have I hated. To you who hear the gospel call, to you who hear God's word go forth, repent and believe. There's hope for you, and the gospel has come to you, and it is through the gospel that God calls. It is through the gospel that God regenerates people, that God saves people. Put yourself in a place to hear the gospel. Repent and believe the good news of Jesus Christ. Read the word of God, and you will be saved. Until next time, go in the grace of the Lord.